Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this week of the time you've set aside. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you'd work in the hearts and minds of each one of us. Just thank you for loving us, and thank you, Lord, for your long suffering for us. I pray you too, we miss Norman and Pat and Steve and Will this night, and I pray you'd be with them and watch over them. And I pray you, Lord, that you would honour each one of us as we honour and please you. You know all of our needs, Lord, leave them at your feet. Pray that you would grant them according to your will. But I know what this country needs most of all, Lord, is a great conviction of sin, a wee bit of reasoning, Lord, and great salvation. For the new leader in the UK, Liz Truss, Lord, I pray that you would constrain her greatly, that you would put your hand upon, Lord, all of the elements that seem to be arrayed against us right now and making life difficult. I pray, Lord, please, show people, show the world, and show these so-called great powers in the world that they're nothing beside you. We really do need you, Lord. Thank you for your Son, and for the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, for your word. This little bit of freedom, this little bit of peace and quiet in a mad world, we thank you for that too. And I pray that you would bless this time in your presence. Please be with us and minister to us, Father. And not just us, but our sister churches, wherever they might be. And we pray most of all, Lord, for your will to be done. We love you and praise you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Right. We'll sing one that we can all sing first, as soon as I think about it. Right, 172 in the big book. 172 is love divine, all love excelling. And then we have a new one that we would like to give a shot to.
Love divine.
equals 6 equals 9. This is a new one. It was requested by Norman, who's not here this evening, obviously. It's called I Know the Bible is True. It's a bit like that precious old book in the wee book. 369. We'll remain seated for this. Give it your best shot. Monica's going to play a free verse to start with. And follow along whenever you get the chip. Two from the back from Revelation, going backwards obviously. This was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. So let's take a minute and see what the first chapter of James has to say to us this evening. The Word of God says, James, the servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. The sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the unrighteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Amen. Many good verses there. Amen. Just want to remind everybody to make sure you get one of these little green prayer lists. We have, on top of the ones that are already printed there, we have a request about Nigeria and the persecuted church in Nigeria. That came from Pat and Steve, recording the incident of a woman in Nigeria that was cleaning the church, and she was killed by Muslims. I would also like to draw your attention to a man in the south of Ireland that was a school teacher. This is in the last few days. He refused to address a child by its desired transgender pronouns and was asked to leave the school. He refused to do this, and there was a court case, etc., etc., and he turned up at school and was arrested and jailed for contempt of court. So please do pray for that man. I've forgotten this. He has a slight Enoch Burns, I think it is, in the south. The Lord knows who he is, and I would pray that you would, whenever you're having a time of prayer, that you would remember this man and stand for what's right, and pray that he would be released from prison. But this is a sign of things to come and it'll eventually end up here as well. Hopefully we'll not be here to see it, but please do pray for that man. I think it's Enoch Burns, but it's definitely Enoch, so please do pray for him. Does anybody else have anything else that they would like added to those prayer lists? Oh, you have an exam that you want to get past, Paul, and you don't want that prayed for?
Yeah, sure.
I will relate to you in a great example to a friend of mine. Whenever I came up to Derry, my friend Clive, who helped out at the church, and his family was very, very good to me. They literally adopted me when I moved from Portadown to Derry and knew nobody, and that would have been after the first week. And that's 34 years I have known him now. I've witnessed to him many times. I've always looked for opportunities to show him God's power. So a few years ago he lost his job, and he asked me to put all his old toy soldiers boxes of kits and things onto eBay, which we did, and we were able to raise enough money from those to keep his house, to keep his home, so the bank didn't take. And one particular, coming close to the end, every time we would set these up, I would say to him, Clyde, do you want me to pray that you get good sales in these, or you just want to leave it? And he always said, pray for it. And I did. And he came with a box of bits that were left over at the end that had been lying in the bottom of the box full of all of these little bits and pieces of broken models. And I said, why don't we put those on eBay? He was going to throw them out. And I said, why don't we put them on eBay and I will pray for a sale? It's like pretty much impossible, but why don't we just pray about it? And we got 50 or 60 pounds for it, just for a bag of old broken model kits. And I said, there you go, Clive. God is good, and if you're willing to give him a little bit of space in your life, to honour him with something and to approach him about something, he is good and he is honourable. He will honour you as you honour him. You commit to him, he will commit to you, and things do happen. So we're more than happy to pray about your maths exam that's coming up in, is it about 2 or 3 months' time?
I'm not too sure, like 3 week induction, and then so we said in January, something like that.
So it's like 4 months away?
Yes.
Grand job. So please do pray about that for Colin. Anybody got anything else? Excellent. Anybody got any thanks? We're a thankless lot. Yes, ma'am.
Mom's heart is still beating.
Good. In case you didn't remember, Monica's mother had to get a cardiac shock to her heart to reset the rhythm on her heart, which has been bonkers for the past year or two. She had it done, would it be about 2 or 3 years, right? Would it be that long? And it was good for a little while, but then it went back to normal. She noticed the difference when it happened. We're praying that it keeps going properly. We would appreciate your prayers as well, but we're thankful for that too. I'm thankful that I got the good weather to cover all the wood in my porch with PVC, well, except for 2 strips up the side, and that I can now put a wee bit of Irish double glazing into my porch and save a bit of heat and use it. So I'm thankful for that. Still have a job or two to go, but I'm thankful for the folks that are here, even if they are all very quiet. But I'm thankful for everybody that's here. Or maybe did I put the temperature up too far? Is everybody just being sleepy tonight? I'm thankful. Yeah, I'm thankful. Is that it? We're all good? Let's pray, and then we'll sing another song. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again. Thank you for the open invitation to come before you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can just tell you everything and anything, and it will lighten our loads. And I pray, Lord, that we would take that promise at face value, that we would come before you with everything. You know all our needs, Lord, especially Colin's up and coming exam in a few months' time. You know, Lord, also about Frank. We're thankful that Frank made it back to London. We don't forget him just because we don't see him. Same for Will and Christine and Mary Ann. For Reggie Hamilton too. For Pat and Stephen, Lord. Pray for all of these souls, Lord. We are thankful for Monica's mom and for her heart staying right. And thankful, Lord, we got the wee bit of work done at the house. And Father, pray about the rest to be done too. For about the cars, Lord. About finances. About insurance, the rates, that's the thing I was thinking about. We thank you for all of these things, Lord. We pray most of all for your will to be done. We certainly can't control what the rest of the world does, but we can control what we do. And I pray, Lord, that you would find our words and our deeds and our locations honourable and pleasing at all times. Bless us now as we further sing a few songs, Lord, and open your word. Please speak to us, Lord, through them all. We love you and praise you. Amen. Now, let's sing another song. Amen. If you want to take to the big hymn books, and we'll do 150 in the big books, faith is found, the rest of the place. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. The fourth book of Moses, it's called. The fourth book in the Pentateuch. Numbers chapter 18. Just want to read like a half a dozen of verses from Numbers chapter 18. I want to spend just a few minutes this evening speaking on the subject of my inheritance. My inheritance. You know what? I should have that marked and I don't, so I'm just going to do it now. That will give you another 15 seconds to get there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. There we go. I'm ready. I hope you are too. Numbers chapter 18, verse number 20, the word of God says, "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, Thou shalt have no inheritance in their land, neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part, and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance. But the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, Among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, When ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe." Amen. That is our reading. We're taking the first two verses as our text, and I want to spend a few minutes on the subject of my inheritance. My inheritance. Just give me one more wee second, because I think that second verse needs a few lines under it as well. Yeah. Right. Let's have a quick prayer and we'll go again. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Please bless us as we take this time to walk through your word. I pray that you would guide our eyes and our thoughts, and that you would take them and change them to, Lord, those that are pleasing to you. That you would, Lord, as you look into our hearts and minds, that you wouldn't find hard hearts, but Lord, hearts that are willing to learn. Lord, we all need you. And until the day that we stand before you in glory, we're going to need you. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to disappoint you. But I pray, Lord, that it will be never on purpose. Help us this day to learn and to grow and to draw closer to you. We love you and praise you. Amen. Amen. This is a little bit of the scriptures that, well, a recording maybe would be a better way of putting it, of the last part of the inheritance of the children of Israel in the promised land. And the Levites, as you work your way through, I know of the Levites most of all, because they were the ones that were different to all of the other children of Israel. They were the ones that were set aside to tend to the spiritual side of the 12 tribes of Israel, or should I say the other 11 tribes of Israel. Now, it may seem that they got a rough deal, because they were all in Egypt, and they all served with rigor for many, many years, decades, before God delivered them. And God delivered them with a great hand. If you think of the 10 plagues of Israel, and then the great, the final plague being the one where the destroyer went out and And a doorpost that didn't have the blood on the doorpost and upon the lintel, the destroyer entered in and killed the firstborn in the house of man and beast. They were there for that. They were there whenever God told Moses to take the people out of Egypt. They were there when the Lord went before them in a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of cloud by day. They were there when the Lord opened the Red Sea and the people walked through it on dry land, and when Egyptians' armies tried to get through it, the waves came over and destroyed them all. They were there and went through the 40 years in the desert with the Lord going before them, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They were there and were fed by the manna from heaven. They were there when the water came out of the rock. They were there whenever the whole of Israel fought against the Ai and the other cities as they entered into the promised land. They went through every single thing the same on the promise that they would have an inheritance in the promised land. And whenever they get here, not only did they have to go through all of those things that everybody else had to go through, but they were responsible for fabricating, transporting, assembling, disassembling, and more transporting of the tabernacle in the wilderness exactly the same way every single time. On pain of death, they had to do it exactly right. And I am sure many of them thought, how has my life come to this? I have gone through the same as all of my other brethren and the other tribes. And they get hundreds of acres of ground throughout the whole of the land of Canaan, soon to be Israel. And God says, you're not getting land other than a wee bit maybe to grow a few rows of veg and to keep a few cattle just for yourself and somewhere to put your house. That's all the land you get. You get all of your brethren, you get these huge homesteads with wells and grapes and figs and all that stuff that grows in Israel that doesn't grow anywhere else. How has my life come to this? At least a lot of people would think that. Now I suppose whenever you, for 40 or 50 years, continually walk in the presence of God and are continually witnessing his many, many miracles and the examples of his power, that you might start to take it for granted. And maybe some of them did. But God said, you're not getting any of the land. I will be your inheritance. A closer, more intimate walk with me will be your reward, if you like, for obeying. That might have annoyed a few people. The other 11 tribes, they get all this land, and we get to run the church. We don't get huge tracts of land. We don't get to run huge herds of cattle. We don't get to have immense crops of olives and grapes and figs and all that stuff. We get to run the church. And a lot of people might think that way, and there were, we do know that there were a lot of Levites that did think that way, at least in later years. But God said, yes, you don't get the land, you don't get the crops, you don't get the cattle, but you will receive a tithe from them. That will be your inheritance, that and me. That tithe will be all that you need to survive and to flourish as those that stand between me and the people. It will be up to you to make sure that the people are well taken care of, remain aware of me from generation to generation, that observe all my statutes and commandments, and whenever they come to church, they have been already commanded, they will have to put money in the plate. 11 tribes give a tenth of all that they have so that the 12th tribe can survive. And that's fine. That's the way churches have been doing it ever since. A And that's what the church needs to survive. We're not so much interested in the tithe, but more this very special inheritance. Now, Joe Public might have thought, well, I just lost out on a pile of stuff there. I get to run the church. I get to come in and turn the heating on. Is that it? I don't have lands. But I have all this time now. What am I going to do with all of this time? I don't have herds to tend to. I don't have crops to make sure that they're working right. I don't have borders of my lands to patrol and make sure they're kept, their cattle to chase. I don't have any of that. So what am I supposed to do, said the Levites? Well, you're supposed to pray. You're supposed to study. You're supposed to evangelize. You're supposed to minister. Whether that's in preaching or helping, whatever. You're supposed to offer the sacrifices. We don't do the sacrifices these days. But those sacrifices back then were a picture of the sacrifice that Jesus was come to make. You're supposed to deal with teaching old and young alike, because unfortunately back then there was no such thing as printing presses. And any books of the Bible were handwritten. This was the lot of the Levites. Now, to be honest, and maybe it's just the fact that I've been doing it for the past, 20 years, give or take, I would rather walk and talk with God and roll my sleeves up with and for God than actually be out working in the fields. Doesn't mean one is any better than the other. Both are important. I was sharing with Colin at the door that from Matthew chapter 4, when the devil contended with Jesus and Jesus combated him, if you like, with the scriptures, he said, look, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Both are necessary for a good life. The thing about it is, whenever you are walking and talking with God, you get a different insight into people, into yourself, and into the way things work. And you can really see the very real spiritual battles that so many people don't even know that they're in the middle of. And you can do your part, the things that God commands you to do, so that those battles can be won. And whilst we do need to eat, this is what keeps us going from day to day, and keep you alive till tomorrow. When a soul wins that spiritual war, and we're speaking more of Christianity than Judaism, when you win that spiritual war, and in the words of the old song, who is on the Lord's side, you will live forever. Not just one day or 2 days, till your tummy starts rumbling and you think the life's world's coming to an end. You will live forever on the streets of gold with a new and a glorified God. And this is why the Lord said, this is your inheritance to the Levites. You're not getting the things of the world. Your concentration, your focus of your interest is not to be the things of the world, the minimum, if you like, to keep body and soul together. Your focus is to be on the spiritual things. And we have a very real need for that. When we're talking about inheritances, it's a sort of a bittersweet experience. When you receive an inheritance from someone, it's obviously someone that cares about you, but that leaves you something. However, you will only get it whenever that person has gone, when their life is over. And it speaks of a previous congenial or loving relationship between two people. Whether it be money or lands or house or car or a favourite Bible or even just a token, it is a bittersweet experience because it means your experiences with this in this life with that person are done. And they are only really eased with that token of love that has been left behind. Sadly, most folks today, even Christians, only have eyes for things and stuff. For money. For power. And anything else is cast aside. If it doesn't have an immediate boost to their bottom line, their bank balance, or their portfolio, and that's what I was thinking of assets. Well, then, it's not looked upon very favorably. And a lot of what we see going on in the world right now is pretty much like that. We'll take an example of, I'm not anti-government, don't get me wrong, but I am anti certain people that are in government. You may have gotten notice that your electricity bills are going to be, they're not creeping up, they're going to take off like a Saturn V rocket to the moon by all accounts. And Liz Truss, who is in the employ of Shell, just like Rishi Sunak, I think, was in the employ of another big oil company. They have said that they're going to do like a big bailout of everybody. I think there's £400 or something coming from the government to help you pay bills. But really what they should be saying to you is, all right, listen here, yes, I thank you for all the money that you've given me, but I'm not your puppet. You are forbidden at this particular time in the history of the company from profiteering off of the company. You will lower your prices. That's it. And if you don't, we'll privatise you. We will take control of this because you're an important asset to the country, and we're not going to have you rob everybody in the country blind. Instead of doing something about the oil company, all they're doing is paying the oil company on behalf of the people, and very sadly, profiteering is going to give a very difficult Christmas to everybody. That's the sort of thinking that has gotten people in trouble. They're not thinking about tomorrow. Well, maybe they are thinking about sailing in their yacht, eating their caviar down in the Caribbean somewhere, whilst everybody else is freezing to death in their brick and mortar houses. But this thinking has also crept into the lives of many Christians, and we have forgotten what our inheritance is. We have forgotten that everything that we have here and now, someday we're going to leave behind. And somebody else will get a turn out of it. I think it actually mentions that in Ecclesiastes. Solomon said, we have another life, and this life is over. And it goes on forever, and that's forever in heaven for the saved soul, and sadly, forever in hell for the lost soul. But that inheritance comes at a cost. A very high cost for Christ. And it's the same with every inheritance. You inherit something for free from the person that no longer needs it and no longer is with us. And that very same principle was the same, was the driving force behind Christ's suffering and death on the cross of Calvary. It cost Christ everything to give us that inheritance for nothing. And it should be a reminder why salvation is free, forever, and sure. It even cost our Saviour separation from God Almighty. In case you're wondering how or why, remember the words, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? A lot of people are glad to get an inheritance. Even if it's 20 quid, it's 20 quid you didn't have whenever you went in. But the inheritance that Christ provides for us is out of this world. This is a little bit of a breakdown of what God gives. Not to us when we're dead, but to us because he died and thankfully raised himself to life again. If something should happen to you, you're absent from the body and present with the Lord, just like that. So don't worry about that. If you're saved, if it doesn't kill you to put money in the plate, if it doesn't kill you to speak out in the cause of Christ in conversation, if it doesn't kill you to lift up your voice, even if it's not in tune, just to praise the Lord, to put a smile on your face, and I'm going to say things here that annoy you, that even convict you. And if it doesn't kill you to say, well, Lord, I might have a problem with the preacher because he said, and I think differently, but you agree with the preacher, and that annoys me a wee bit, Lord. You know what God would say to you? Yeah, but it's the right thing to do. And if you can come to church with the attitude of, If everything that the preacher says is in the Word of God, then even if I don't agree with it, the Bible's right and I'm wrong. And that you can learn and grow from that, you have a future with God in heaven. Well, you have a future with God right now, and a home in heaven forever and ever. But some of the things that God has for us right now, and I want you to know, it's tricky living for Jesus in this world. The world, the flesh, and the devil, even your own feelings are out to trip you up and drag you back to what you used to be before you were saved. It's hard work. And the Bible says, we were reading it in James, if you are confounded, if you lack wisdom here on earth, just ask God and he will keep giving and giving and giving. And he will show you how things work. And not only will you just have to take his word for doing things, he will actually show you why you should do things God's way. He will give you wisdom, fistfuls of wisdom over wisdom over wisdom. If you find yourself lonely here on earth, the word of God says, look, I've got a whole family here, just waiting for another family member. One of my quick throwaways was, I love it when people get saved, and if somebody new comes to church, says, we'll water the soup, we'll mince the meat, and we'll mash the potatoes, and we'll make sure everybody gets a bite at the table. And we'll shuffle up at the bench. There'll always be room for one more. God's family is everywhere. Even if your family throws you out, God will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. He'll never cast you out. He will keep you in the palm of his hand. God has an open door policy for prayer. You can come before him at any time. You can talk to him about anything at any time. And the Bible says if you can ask, if you can honestly see Jesus Christ asking God for something, the things that you have in your mind, you ask God for it. Ask him for gold bars. Ask him for fancy sports cars. And see what he says. And then try asking for sensible things instead. See which ones come true. See which prayers God answers. He might not even answer your prayer with a no. He might say, well, this is why you should have this, or this is why you shouldn't have this. Can you see my perspective? And if you say no, he says, well, that's okay. I'll just keep you exactly where you are until you can see my perspective, and then you'll be grand. The Bible says, not only will he hear your prayers and invite you into his presence because he loves you, but the sheer act of you bearing your heart and soul to God will lift so much spiritual, mental weight off of you. In fact, Philippians 4 calls it the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Not only that, he's left the best of good books, the Word of God, protected, most importantly, against some so-called Christians that want to hack at the bits. And goodness, if you have a creature, you started cutting the heart out of it and started cutting into the body of it, the blood would come pouring out, it would be dead. And that's the way just about every Bible is, except for the King James Bible. They're dead. God has inspired and preserved divinely this book, this King James Bible. And not only that, he sends angels to tend to you. He gives you helps. The greatest of which is a noble purpose. The best of purposes. His job, in fact, the seeking and saving of souls. And then eternity. This is just another part of your inheritance. This is the eternal part of your inheritance. You get a glorified body. A body that will never get old or cold. Will never have any more aches or pains. A body that will live forever. Eventually, we'll have no sin nature. All those niggly things and things that annoy you and that little part of you that enjoys sin, that'll be gone. A mansion in heaven, the best of food, the greatest of company. You know, whenever you... In my years, I worked at a hotel for about 7 summers and a few months in between the summers. And it came to me not long after I was working there that I'd gotten saved, and I was doing a comparison of going to church and going to the pub. Because if you asked a Bible-believing Christian to go to the pub, he'd think he was in hell. And if you asked a pub-goer to go to church, they'd think they were in hell. I remember thinking about what it cost you to go to church. Yes, you might have to get up. You don't even have to get up early on a Sunday morning. My goodness, church isn't until 11 o'clock. So it's not like you have to fight your way out of bed and get a cup of coffee to open your eyes. You can be in your bed nearly till 9:45. Unless, of course, I'm getting there 10:20. It might take a bit longer. People spend a lot of money getting dolled up to go out for an evening. If you go to anywhere decent, you're going to have to pay an admission fee. Before you go, you might want to get your hair fixed, your makeup done, maybe get a new dress, a new pair of shoes. Sometimes the ladies might want to spend more. When you go there, you'll have to spend money buying drinks, snacks. And that's not going to be £5 or £10. In fact, I actually read somewhere today that if all these energy hikes go through, the price of a pint will be £20 for a price of a pint. I just hope lots of people go out and buy them, because that will save my taxes a lot. You've got that. You've got your taxi home and possibly a taxi there. And then whenever the preacher stands up and says, we're going to have to shut the doors in case, unless people start contributing to the church financially, they say they're only after your money. Whenever they've spent a literal fortune going out smoking and drinking all night. Anyway, we'll have the opportunity to see God face to face. This isn't heaven. This is part of our inheritance. The Bible actually says that of streets of gold, a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a new earth. Be able to see the angels that we kept so busy in our Christian lives in this world, as well as see the saved of every generation. There's not going to be any crime. The Bible says when we see Jesus Christ, we'll be just like him. I think it says, and what did I write these verses down? In 1 John 3 it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ of his whole kingdom. Does anyone remember any of the things that the Lord could do whenever he was raised from the dead? He could always do them, but he did them in front of people. He appeared and disappeared, literally, into and out of thin air. And he flew like Superman up into the air. The Bible records that he went up into heaven, and the clouds received him out of their sight. And the people stood looking until, I think it was two angels said, why are you standing around looking up? Jesus is coming back the same way that he left. So anybody that says that Jesus in this world right now is a liar, barefaced liar. But that and ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, how does that sound for you? God might just say to you, right, Colin, you're in charge of Derek. Make sure it runs smoothly. And Mark will help you, and Monica, and Lynn, and Charlotte. They'll all help you run Derek the right way. And there'll be a lot of I told you so's for the people that you know that are still alive in Derek. Because it'll only have been 7 years since he disappeared. And God comes down and says, you're in charge. You've got this for 1,000 years until you can't stick it anymore. And then you can pass it off onto somebody else and make them think they're having a grand old time, but actually be really, really glad that you don't have to look after Derry anymore. But we've got that. That's our inheritance. 1,000 years ruling with Christ on earth, but he rules with a rod of iron. Not this namby-pamby, long-haired, drunk-smoking, scraggly, bearded vision that people have of Jesus Christ smoking a joint and letting everything slide. That's not Jesus Christ. The God of the Bible keeps track of the things that people do. And if you don't have Jesus paying for it, well then you, as a lost soul, will pay for it in the endless ages of eternity in hell and the lake of fire with every tear that you shed and every regret that you have. And God doesn't want that. You think of the best day that you have ever had in this world. And heaven is an order of magnitude beyond that and out of your sight. Even for you and me right here and now, the Bible says, I have not seen, and ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, things that God has prepared for them that love him. That's the promise for right here and now. The best life that you can lead can be had right here and now when you make full advantage of the inheritance that Jesus Christ left for his children. I have seen people do great things with their inheritances. People have gone on to do great, what's the word, charitable works. They have paid off bills. They have set up funds, trust funds for their children or educational funds. People with many millions have set up annual funds and will actually pave the way for a student that has expressed or carried out great deeds with their early education, and they will pay from scholarships. Those are great inheritances. But the greatest inheritance is the one that the Lord left, which is the free gift of eternal life and the walk with God in this world that absolutely nothing else that this world can produce comes even close to. They can give you money, give you all the houses in your housing estate. All that would do for you would give you a headache. Oh, no, I have to look after all of these houses. I have to be careful about where I invest my money. Because eventually time will steal it away so very quietly and so very softly you'll not even notice. But God's inheritance is cast down. Do you know how enduring and how untouchable God's inheritance is? He says, you were redeemed with the blood of Christ, which is not like corruptible things as silver and gold. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of a being so far beyond us that the whole age of man is just like a day that's passed, gold and silver are like rusty nails. That's something to bear in mind. That is how the inheritance that Christ has left for you and me compares to the greatest of riches in this world. So I would urge you to make the most of that inheritance. Use it to make your life the best life you can lead. Don't worry about everybody else. As long as you are walking right with God, that's all that matters. Amen. Stop in there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Let's sing a song and then we'll be done. Let's take our hymn books again. The wee ones this time. The wee black hymn books. Right. I have a hymn down here somewhere and I took it off my notes and I thought, I'll not forget that. But I forgot it. So we'll sing hymn number one. We'll sing hymn number one in the wee black books, How Great Thou Art, because that just about sums it up. And we'll stand as we do. Hymn number one, let's stand as we sing How Great Thou Art.
I see the stars, I hear the roaring thunder.
Sing the praises for your Bible readings, the preaching of your word, leading Lord just for our time together. Please bless us as we part company and go our separate ways. See us safely home, I pray you, Lord, and make us mindful of the fact that this world is not our final resting place. We love you and praise you. We leave this on our private prayer request at your feet. Don't forget those that are sick. Please touch their bodies and minister to them. Leave this all at your feet and ask it according to your will. Amen. Folks, Christmas. God bless you.